You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
I hope everyone out there had a wonderful and amazing 4th of July holiday. My name is Braden Gall, not Paul Feinbaum, in for Paul today on the Paul Feinbaum Show right here on ESPN Radio. I sure hope everybody had a great time. Everybody a little slow this morning coming in. I know my kid's getting up at about 8 o'clock this morning, way later than they normally get up. So easing into the week here, just a couple of days, and we've got a lot to discuss on the show. I think I can make the argument, and part of the reason I got into working in sports media and covering college football, which is, without question, objectively, the greatest sport in our country. I'm willing to listen if you would like to disagree. But I just personally, college football is the greatest sport this planet's ever had, in my opinion. I know soccer is very popular. But football is America's pastime, and the best version of football is the college variety. And I just can't help but get excited for media days coming up in a couple of weeks, the 2023 season. And we're going to have weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks of talking season, where we argue about depth charts and quarterback transfers and new offensive systems and important games and quarterback battles and everything else. But I do think it is important to step back for a second and understand where we are in college football historically. To be alive this summer and be a fan of college football, I could argue, is going to be unlike any other summer possibly in college football history. Think about what this season represents for us, the diehard football fans. It is the last of an era. It is the last of a kind of this version of the sport. Next year, especially in the SEC, no divisions for the first time since 1991. We're going to have expanded college football playoff for the first time in history. 12 teams are going to get into the playoff. Texas and Oklahoma, welcome to the party. USC and UCLA to the Big Ten. Even back in 2013, if you go back and think about 2013, and I haven't even gotten to the teams yet, folks, so just bear with me here on this. If you go back to 2013, how did that season end? It was the last of an era, right? The very last BCS championship game ever. And it ended with, sorry, Alabama fans, the kick six and one of the great championship games of all time. And the very next year, we began a new era of college football that changed everything and got us to where we are going to be next season in 2024, which is expanded Big Ten Conference, expanded SEC, expanded playoff, and we have all these new rules across every single platform. And think about how that season turned out. One of the craziest, most entertaining seasons we've ever had. So not only is it the end of an era in college football, so number one, get excited for what you love about the sport. But think about what we have as a fan of the product. Take yourself away as a fan of a team and just step back and be a fan of the sport. Alabama, for the first time, and I cannot remember when, I have no clue which direction they're going this year. I just don't. I absolutely could see Tommy Rees and Tyler Buckner or Ty Simpson, or Jalen Miller, whoever it might be that wins that job. The roster at Alabama is good enough to win a national championship. Nick Saban's the greatest coach of all time. I could absolutely see Alabama finding its footing and reestablishing itself as the dominant brand in the sport. Don't tell me that's not possible. Of course it's possible. I could also see the offense and the quarterback and the coordinator not working out. And all of a sudden, what is Alabama? A two-loss team for 2 years in a row? Is that slipping? Is that the end of the era? I don't know. I'm just saying the point is we don't know for the first time in a long time what Alabama's going to be. I personally like Alabama, but if you know, I'm going with you to Vegas because ain't nobody got an idea of exactly what Alabama's offense is going to look like. They've struggled on the road for years, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Alabama. Okay, that's just one story. Ohio State, completely no idea what the quarterback's going to be after losing a generational talent in C.J. Stroud. Still can't beat Michigan. Michigan, Jim Harbaugh, ever going to break through? Does he have enough players to win a national championship? Two times in a row to the playoff. Two times in a row dominating Ohio State. Can they get over the hump? Oh, by the way, the Georgia Bulldogs. The two-time defending champs. When's the last time we had a three-peat in college football in the modern era since integration? Never. It's never happened. It's never happened for a reason. It's incredibly difficult. And Georgia, as we all know, is dealing with a lot of distractions right now. Call them whatever you want, but they are distractions. Maybe they're capable of blocking it all out. And throw in the fact that they have a new quarterback, a new coordinator, and like 17 NFL players gone from their defense over the last 2 years. How about Powers returning to glory? USC, Florida State, Penn State all have opportunities to be elite playoff caliber programs this year. What do we make of LSU? Is Texas actually back? We have more unknowns in this college football season than I can remember in a long time. And it is the last season of an era of college football that will go down in history as the first ever playoff era. And I don't really know how to define the playoff era other than SEC dominance, which is sort of how we define every modern era. But from 2014 to 2023, what are we going to think about that era? What is it that we're going to remember? Is it Clemson's return to glory? Is it Nick Saban's total dominance? A little bit of both? So I'd like to know how you guys would define the playoff era, because I think we're entering in with an SEC middle class that's stronger than ever, with more talented big-time programs around the country at their best. Washington's better than it's been in a long time. Texas is better than it's been in a long time. USC, Penn State, Michigan. Like, go down the list. Notre Dame's a top 15 team right now. Go down the list and look at the unknowns of this season. Sure, Georgia's number one. But this is one of the most important summers that I can ever remember. And, oh, by the way, it happens during a season that is the end of an era. And my first thought is, God, we better enjoy it. Enjoy the way college football is structured right now today, because it is going to be different this time next year. Then it's going to be different again 10 years from now, right? So let's see. Let's see what happens. 855-242-7285. I think this is one of the most important and interesting summers we've ever seen in college football, and it is the end of an era. And I'd like to know how you guys would define the playoff era, the first playoff era. 855-242-7285. What are you going to miss? What are you going to remember about these last 10 years? Because we have to take a moment to think about it. I mean, listen, this is the week of July 4th, right? What's the point of July 4th? It's like to remember the history of our country. Like, well, this is the end of an era here. What is it that we're going to remember about this era? How do you define it? 855-242-7285. A lot of other stuff to do on the show today. We're going to talk with David Hale. We're going to talk ACC unit rankings with him. We're going to talk with Chrissy Freud from SI.com about quarterbacks. We got Brad Crawford coming on the show from 24/7 ranking coaches, the best coaches not to win national championships. Dave Bartu from CFB Matrix as well is going to talk to us about ranking the best coaches in college football based on statistical analysis. You'd be shocked who is the top four coaches in the SEC. You'd be shocked at that and who's not on that list. So a lot of really great stuff to go, but I just want to know exactly how we're going to remember this era. What is it you're going to miss? What is it how do you define it? Braden Gall in for Paul, 855-242-7285. And you know what? I'm going to take Andre first here because Andre from the ATL, you're my man. Andre, welcome to the show.
What's going on, man? What are you doing? What you do with Coach Feinbaum break?
Hey, look, Paul gets a well-deserved break, okay? And I am honored to be in here talking about college football. So
you know, you like Bozo the Clown. You can't feel those shoes. Now, those are some big shoes. You feel them, boy.
I'm not going to try. I just got to be myself and love the game. You know what I mean?
Listen, man, this is the way this thing goes. I don't care about these other conferences. When the dust is settled, it's still going to be the SEC. The SEC doesn't go to the Big Ten and run satellite camp. They don't go to the West Coast and run satellite camp. Those conferences come here because one thing about the population in the Southeast is growing. It's not diminishing. They can't say that in the Big Ten. The population is declining there. People are following the weather and the jobs to the Southeast. So, therefore, the recruiting in the Big Ten footprint is going to get a lot tougher, and they're going to have to come south. But anyway, I mean, I look back on the era as all the different teams from the SEC that have lifted that trophy above their head. I'm an LSU fan. So I think, you know, LSU is going to be fine. We got a good coach. This thing is about money, and money doesn't talk. It screams, and it screams loud. So, hey, thanks for taking my call. You have a good day,
yeah.
Brady.
Yeah, thank you, Andre. And Andre's exactly right about the recruiting and the domination. Like, you could go back, pick an era. Really, if you start in 98 with the BCS, that includes a Tennessee national championship. That includes two Florida national championships. That, like, the Big Ten has one team even playing for a national championship since 1998. So even if you expand it to the BCS era, and if you want to call it the championship game era, I mean, it is SEC is the dom. I mean, that is the main story, especially for us SEC people. But I just the playoff brought us something different. It brought us something new. It changed our sport forever. And now it led to what is going to be a 12-team playoff. And that's going to be a different era of the sport too. And I just think we have an extraordinary summer in the SEC. No idea from basically team 3 or 4 to team 13 who's going to be great. A&M, Tennessee, Kentucky, Ole Miss, Arkansas, Mississippi State, Missouri, South Carolina, you name it. They're all really, really, really close. They're going to be decided by a game or two. So we are in for one of the most important summers of our lifetime. In the last season, in the end of an era, heading into a new version of college football. By the way, with questions about Alabama, questions about Ohio State, questions about Michigan, I think there are more questions about Georgia than are being asked right now. Questions about the Pac-12. It is going to be a spectacular, spectacular college football season. I cannot wait for the college football season. Cannot wait. Can't wait, as Bart would say. 855-242-7285. Braden Gall in for Paul. 855-242-7285. How do you define this first version of the playoff era? The only 4-team playoff era we're ever going to have in this sport. How do you define it? What will you remember about this particular version of college football? Your calls right here next on the Paul Feinbaum Show, ESPN Radio.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
2023 is the end of a college football era. So we're asking, how would you define it? What will you remember? What are you holding on to? On the Twitter machine, by the way, at Braden Gall, at Feinbaum, here on ESPN Radio. We'll get to your calls momentarily. 855-242-7285. Just some responses on the Twitter machine, which, by the way, is still good for something. Georgia not on NCAA probation. One answer there. Okay, like that, tongue-in-cheek. The regular season as a whole, from Tyler, mid-season games mean far less as soon as they begin expanding the playoff beyond 4. I disagree with that, and we'll talk about that in a second, because I think it actually adds value to more games than it does taking away value from others. It may take away some value from the big games, but it is going to add value to like dozens of other games. This is from Nothing Finer Pod. I'm excited to go divisionless in the SEC, but I enjoy the annual rivalries that'll probably disappear, like Georgia and South Carolina. That is true. How about 2023 will be the last year that A&M will not have a loss to their big brother, from Kyle. Enjoy it. I like that one as well. John says Kansas beating Texas. That's a good one. And then the Bedlam series as well. And then Shifty says nothing. And I kind of agree. I'm not going to miss a whole lot. I'm excited about the new era of college football. I think it's going to be incredibly interesting as we move forward. But that doesn't mean we can't enjoy what we've got right now. At Braden Gall, in for Paul Feinbaum on ESPN Radio. AC from Bangladesh. AC, what is up, my man? How are you, good sir? Happy 4th of July.
Same to you. So, well, who cares about your 4th of July? How are you feeling, sir? Thank you so much for taking my call.
I'm doing great.
Man, I did not absolutely, I did not recognize that you are hosting the show. See, I think I spoke with the producer also the last time I called in, and Jim was going to file a lawsuit, I guess. I don't see any lawsuit. I mean, he's supposed to do it. I had my lawyers lined up. I was going to say, hey, boys, get ready. But I told them, guys, this guy's not going to file the lawsuit. I'm 100%. I am 100%. Guess what? It was correct. He is not going to mess with you guys. If he threatens you, Mr. Producer, hang up on him. Say, who cares? Hang up. Gone. Out of here, Jim. He's scared of you, Mr. BG. Let's face it. But let me answer your question about the playoff, the 12-team playoff. You know, they're adding more competition because, again, Georgia just went back-to-back. So they want to stop them from going back to have a three-peat. So let's assume Alabama goes back-to-back again. They're going to add probably 16 teams. It's a way to add competition. It's a way to stop other teams to be more and more successful. That's about it. If you do 12 teams, BG, let's face it, you're going to have 7 to 8 SEC teams. Don't you agree?
In the tournament? I would say over a 2 or 3 year span. Yeah, I think there's going to be a boatload of SEC teams that make the tournament. Yes, I still think there's only the best of the best that can win it all.
Well, absolutely. So here's the thing: the more you add, it's going to favor the SEC. Pac-12 may not even make it. Michigan, Ohio State, they'll make it. Sure, give it to them. Just have them make it. Clemson and their soft schedule, they'll make it. But the question is, do they have what it takes to win the championship? There we go. So expanding doesn't help. I like 16 playoffs. You add 2 extra, that's about it. Why do you need 12? To me, it makes no sense because that's going to interfere with the NFL playoffs, and I'm pretty sure college football, they don't want to. Someone's going to lose their ratings. Someone's going to lose their money.
Right.
Hey, I'm giving you all the facts. You can add, matter of fact, add 100 teams. I really don't care. They're going to work them to death. So me personally, 6 is good enough. But let me tell you what is good enough, Mr. BG. You're hosting the show, and Jim is not man enough to call the station because his daddy AC said so. I love you, man. Good job.
Thank you, AC.
AC is the best caller on the show.
The producer Ben there and I, last time we were on together, Jim, who I hold in high esteem with much love and respect, Jim did call producer Ben and I and threatened to sue us and get us fired. Now, that, as you can tell, has not taken place yet. And Jim does still refuse to call the show. But I would like to bury the hatchet and reach out to Jim and try to reconcile our differences and come together over our love of college football. Now, I think the playoff, I'm with you. I could see 6 or 8 being ideal, AC, over 12. I can see that. But I know why they're going to 12, because they want to get as many conferences and as many teams represented as possible to keep it a national sport, which is good for the sport, including the SEC, for as many teams to be interested in the sport as possible for longer. And we can't have the entire half of the country not paying attention to college football after October. That's not good for the sport. It's not healthy. Greg Sankey has said this. Everybody has said this, and it's true. So I do think it's good that we're going to have more people watching our product for longer and more interested in the product for longer from different places. And I think that is what the playoff expansion is all about. Oh, by the way, we all make more money as well. At least the conferences and the schools do. Not me personally. Hayden from Alabama. Hayden, welcome to the Paul Feinbaum Show. How are you, sir?
Hey, what's up, Mr. Braden? How we doing today?
What's up, dude?
Yes, sir. I wanted to comment on the football playoff first, and then I have another comment, if you don't mind.
Yeah, man.
So with the playoff, I was going to say I like it. I don't like the 12 because, like you said, I think it's smarter to go with 6 or 8. But with 12, it does keep the whole country tuned in if you have a team from every conference, you know? So I like that about it. But what do you think that there could be a surprise SEC team come up this year, kind of like Tennessee last year?
Short answer is absolutely. The long answer is, how the heck do you pick one? Is it Arkansas?
Fair enough.
Is it South Carolina? Is it Kentucky? Is it Texas A&M? I mean, I don't think LSU, Georgia, or Alabama would count. But otherwise, you can make a case for like 6 or 7 different teams. But the answer is absolutely yes. I would guess you could find one. Yes.
Yes, sir. Awesome. And then I wanted to say this. I heard Jim call in the other day. He just absolutely dogged AC, just talking about how he's a dang fool. He's an idiot, and all that. He just doesn't want to face the music because in reality, that's what he is. And it just makes me mad because AC's actually a good caller. But Jim tries to turn it around, and he's the only one on the show that doesn't think he's just rude or whatever. But he, in reality, he is. But that's all I wanted to say. And, BG, hope you have a good day, and
take care. Thank you, Hayden. That was very kind of you. Listen, I am trying to bury the hatchet and build a relationship with Jim here, guys. If you guys are going to completely destroy him and insult him constantly – how am I supposed to repair the bridge here? You know? That's what I'm trying to do.
Are we sure we want that, though?
Ben, speak for yourself, sir, okay?
I want problems, always.
Maybe I would prefer to have a working, amicable relationship with Jim. Maybe. I don't know. What's best for the show, Ben? We'll talk about it. Here's the other thing. We've got coaches. Coach rankings are all over the place in the internet right now. They're all over the place. I do want to know... continue to discuss this playoff era thing because I'm fascinated with how we're going to define these last 10 years. And we got phone lines loaded up and we got some lines open, 855-242-7285. So go ahead and give us a ring. We're going to get to your calls. But also, the best coaches who have not won the national championship. This plays right into what makes 2023 so interesting. There are 5 or 6 coaches in college football that have yet to win a national championship who all could do it in 2023. We will discuss that next. My name is Braden Gall. In for Paul, this is the Paul Feinbaum Show on ESPN Radio.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
That's right. It will be the end of a college football era, and I cannot wait for the season. Looks to be like one of the most interesting, dynamic, and unpredictable seasons we've had in quite some time. Even if the same teams are at the top, Braden Gall in for Paul Feinbaum, 855-242-7285. And we were discussing what will this first playoff era be defined as? How will we remember it over time? And we'll get to your calls coming up momentarily, 855-242-7285. But a big part of why this season, in my opinion, could be so extremely interesting, as they all are, is the number of big-time coaches at big-time locations that have yet to get to the top of the mountain. Brad Crawford, 24/7 Sports, joining us here on the Paul Feinbaum Show. Brad, how are you, sir?
Yeah, thanks for having me, Braden. Appreciate it, man. I'm looking forward to SEC Media Days here in about a week and a half, which unofficially kicks off the season for me.
Yeah, right here in my hometown of Nashville, Tennessee, of course. If you need any bourbon and or food or music recommendations, I'm your guy. But Brad, you wrote a piece. You had basically the top six coaches, top five, but you added a six there. Coaches that have not yet won a national championship, because there are only like one hand's worth of coaches that have won a national championship in the game today. And again, I think part of the reason, before I ask you specifically why you ranked guys where you did, I just think part of what makes this season so interesting is that you have some programs returning to prominence, some guys that have changed jobs, and some guys that just haven't gotten the job done. But there are a lot of elite coaches at elite programs that have yet to get to the top of the mountain, and all of them feel capable of doing it this season.
Yeah, you know, we talk about parity potentially being one of the top storylines this fall in college football, but when it comes down to the final 14 playoff before we expand in 2024, I still think we're going to see roster talent and roster depth being the two biggest factors in this. And I think these six coaches on my list who have not won a title yet, all of them have elite rosters when compared to the Alabamas, the Clemsons, and the Georgias, the teams that have done it before. So I really think, you know, Jim Harbaugh at Michigan, Ohio State's Ryan Day, LSU's Brian Kelly, those are the top three for me heading into this season who have a legitimate shot at not only getting to the Final Four, but also dethroning Georgia and winning this thing.
So how do you parse out Ryan Day and Jim Harbaugh with Michigan and Ohio State? I find it personally fascinating because you have to play a certain style of game to beat a team like
right.
Georgia. You have to, you know, Ohio State has shown us that that's more of the formula with athletes in space, the wide open passing attack. They've got four NFL receivers. Ryan Day has shown us that that's how you can do it if you're going to challenge Georgia. But Michigan is clearly the better team right now, two straight over Ohio State. And, of course, they are the more complete roster with more pieces returning. How do you parse out who has a better chance this year between Jim Harbaugh and Ryan Day?
And you almost have to smash mouth Georgia at their own game to beat the Bulldogs, because that's what Missouri even almost did last season. That road game at Missouri, 26-22, Missouri basically challenged Georgia physically at the line of scrimmage. And for 3.5 quarters, man, Missouri really put up a hard fight. And I think last season Ohio State had a 14-point lead on Georgia entering the fourth quarter in what was essentially a home game for the Dogs in Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz, and could not finish. Ryan Day's 45-6 with the Buckeyes. All six losses have come to ranked teams. I think three of those six have come against top three teams, including Michigan twice. So I think Jim Harbaugh and Ryan Day are right there, maybe 1A, 1B, as far as coaches who haven't won it yet. But you're right. Both of those styles are very different. Obviously, Ohio State and Georgia have comparable athletes. But at the line of scrimmage, I think Michigan is better than Ohio State right now, and that's why – at least here on July 5th, I've got Jim Harbaugh as my likeliest coach, just above Ryan Day.
And obviously a path into the playoff maybe as well. You've got Brian Kelly right. at LSU at number 3, Lincoln Riley at USC at number 4. I feel like they're similar in that they have a returning quarterback, a returning offense that's largely intact, some young, inexperienced pieces on defense, but good. Two very established coaches that were at the national championship level in previous stops. So now they're at these new, big, fancy, shiny Rolls Royces in USC and LSU. My question for you is, are they fully mature national championship programs yet?
The biggest question I have with Lincoln Riley is, you know, can he win a game against an elite team that has just as good of players as he does? And I think so far he's shown that he can't do that. I believe he's, what, 0-3 in the college football playoff at Oklahoma last time. You know, got blown out by Joe Burrow, 7 touchdown passes in that first half. That was a wild semifinal game. Lincoln Riley's really good for 3 months in the regular season. You know, he's going to give you probably an 11-1 season this season. Trojans are going to get, you know, to the Pac-12 championship game with who I consider the best player in the country, Caleb Williams, coming back. But can he take that next step? That's the big question. And with Brian Kelly, you know, Kelly said last week, actually, that he believes year three is the special year LSU can do it. I kind of found that very interesting, that maybe he's challenging his team here ahead of his second season. But LSU has the best defensive player in college football returning, 5-star sophomore linebacker Harold Perkins. I think he's going to be the SEC's defensive player of the year. And they have an elite quarterback room, Jaden Daniels and Garrett Nussmeier, two guys who would likely start for, you know, just about 95% of Power 5 programs. So LSU and USC both in very good shape this fall.
Brad Crawford joining us here, 24/7 Sports, the top coaches in college football that have not yet won a national championship. And you've got Steve Sarkisian at 5. I understand the argument on paper, but I've also understood the argument on paper for Texas for a decade. Why is this year different?
Yeah, I've got Texas in my preseason Final Four. You know, the last 5 or 6 years, I've hit 3 out of the 4 Final Fours, and Texas just feels like, to me, this is the year that everything comes together. You know, schedule-wise, they play at Alabama in week 2. I think that's going to be Sark's biggest win as a head coach so far. You know, they catch Alabama at a good time because, while right now in July we're unsure of who's going to be QB1 for Bama, Crimson Tide opened up against Middle Tennessee. It doesn't matter who starts at quarterback that game. Tommy Reese isn't going to show much offensively, and I think Texas goes into Tuscaloosa and really plays well in mid-September. You know, Quinn Ewers obviously has to be an elite player at quarterback to get to the Final Four. I like what the Longhorns have on defense. And then they have a few portal guys, too, at wide receiver who, you know, are All-American-type candidates. Guy from Georgia, A.D. Mitchell, really good player, too. So, you know, Sark, this is going to be the year I think Texas gets to the Final Four and really have a difference-making campaign.
Yes, Georgia loses the player who catches the game-winning touchdown pass in a college football playoff game, and their receiving core gets better. That's what Georgia's doing. Brad, thank you so much, man, for your time. We do appreciate it. Happy 4th, man.
Thanks a lot.
Absolutely. Brad Crawford there. So number 1, Jim Harbaugh. Number 2, Ryan Day. Number 3, Brian Kelly. Number 4, Lincoln Riley. Number 5, Steve Sarkisian. And number 6, Mike Norvell. The 6 best coaches that have a chance to reach the top of the mountain for the first time this season. I honestly do not know how to parse out Michigan and Ohio State. It doesn't feel like you can play Georgia's game and beat Georgia at their game. That's what Michigan wants to do. Maybe this is the year they can do it because they're returning so much and Georgia has so many questions in terms of focus, distraction, culture, all these things that are swirling about Georgia. Maybe this is the year that you can do that. I still think the Ohio State model, the USC model, is the better model to beat Georgia in a one-game situation, because that's all it can be, is a one-game situation. And then LSU's sneaky, man. And I believe what Brad Crawford just said is he's calling a shot that Texas will go into Tuscaloosa and beat Alabama in week number 2. This, I'm telling you, this is the chance to be one of the most exciting college football seasons, both in the SEC and out, that we've ever seen. And it is the end of an era. It's remarkable what this year could be. And I hope people are as excited about it as I am. Braden Gall in for Paul Feinbaum. 855-242-7285. How are we going to define the last 10 years of college football, the first college football playoff era? Tons of answers on the socials, and the phone lines are loaded up. So your calls are next right here on the Paul Feinbaum Show, ESPN Radio.
Thank you. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
.855-242-7285. Happy 4th, everybody. Braden Gall in for Paul. Huge summer in college football. Just utterly fascinating. Alabama battle, quarterback, Ohio State. Can star coaches get to the top of the mountain? The healthiest, deepest SEC we've ever seen. Can the Pac-12 actually return to relevance? It's just so fascinating this summer. And, oh, by the way, we have an entirely new sport next year with teams changing conferences in the playoff. Expanding. 855-242-7285. I want to say thank you to those of you guys holding on the phones. James in North Carolina. James, thank you for your patience. What's up, man?
Hey, man. How you doing?
Doing great.
I was just going to say I was good to see Clemson get back on top. I know a lot of people don't like the ACC as I do my national travels here. But it was great to see that. And a shout-out to Georgia, the state of Georgia. I know Texas is going to get mad. Florida's going to get mad. California's going to get mad. Man for man, player for player, Georgia got the best players in the country in high school. And that's kind of what the reason is. You see them at the top of the plateau right now. Auburn's dipping in there. Alabama's going to dip in there. Tennessee, all the ACC, Big Ten, everybody's going to dip in Georgia because those guys are ready to play. South, middle Georgia, Metro Atlanta, those guys are ready to play, especially on the defensive side. And I think it's showing once they get in college. That's my point, man. And have a good day. And I like the show.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, James. I do appreciate it. And I completely agree. I think one of the things you could point to about the playoff era that I think is unique to the playoff era is the return of Clemson and Georgia as a tandem. They both won a national championship in, what, 80, 81. Neither had won a national championship until we got to this new era, and they have won four. So I think the return of Clemson and the return of Georgia, I think, is probably near the top of the list of things that I would say that I will remember the most about this playoff era, this playoff generation. Cole from Alabama. Cole, welcome to the Paul Feinbaum Show. Cole, how are you?
Good. How are you guys? Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, man. You too.
All right, so first I want to say go Vols. It's not easy being a Tennessee fan down in Alabama. There's only a few that know. What I'll miss about the previous setup is not really much, honestly. I mean, there wasn't much of a point, in my opinion, from going to 2-4 teams. I mean, and then, you know, you got these committee members. They're trying to sneak in teams like, you know, TCU and Cincinnati and Washington 1 year. And, you know, they had good seasons, but – it's just there's too much talent in the South down here, and I think with this new format and being 12 teams, how many teams are you going to get in? You got my Vols on the come up. You got Bama, Georgia, of course, LSU. You got Florida, who you can't keep out for long. There's just too much talent in Florida. They're going to be back soon. I mean, and another question is, how much will the SEC championship even really matter? I mean, it's just going to be, I mean, you figure the two teams that make the SEC championship every year after this year are automatically going to get in because I mean, 12 teams is a lot of teams, and yep. with the conference adding Texas and Oklahoma, I mean, that's going to be a powerhouse of a conference. So if you can be the final two in the SEC championship, you got to figure you're going to get in.
Yep, I completely agree, Cole. And last year, you would have had Georgia, Tennessee, Alabama, probably LSU all get in to a 12-team playoff. So I think you're absolutely right. And now again, to Cole's point, and I appreciate the call, buddy, and for being patient, Michigan State, Washington, Cincinnati, TCU, they all got in. They all had to have historic seasons, and they all just had their one historic season, and that's what the result was. But for those programs, they remember those teams forever. Those are like hanging Final Four banners for, you know, the schools that don't win championships in college basketball. Like, you get to a Final Four, it's a big deal in college basketball. I think getting into the playoff is, for a program like TCU, for example, like, that is a team that should be and will be celebrated by TCU fans forever. What an extraordinary season they have. So I don't have a problem with them getting in. I think the 12-team playoff, what it does is it moves what we celebrate. And I think, don't take my word for it, but take Kirby Smart's word for it. Is it better to miss the SEC championship game? That is the question he asked in Destin. Not me, not the NCAA, not college football fans from other conferences. He said, is it better to have a bye week and not have to play in that game if you think you're already getting in? Alabama last year would not have played in the SEC championship game if it had been no divisions. It would have been Georgia 1, Tennessee 2, Alabama 3, LSU 4. That would have been the order of finish. Tennessee would have gotten into the SEC championship game. Let's assume they lose a game again to Georgia. They fall to 10-3. Do they still get in? Probably. But Alabama at 10-2 at that point absolutely gets in, and they would have had a bye week with Bryce Young going into a playoff scenario. And all the haters out there that were like, Alabama's not worthy, they're not that great, they lost two times. They lost two times on the final two plays of the game. I don't think you would have wanted to play Alabama if you were TCU. I don't think you wanted to play Alabama if you were a Pac-12 team, or if you would have been Michigan in that situation, or even Ohio State. You wouldn't have wanted to done that. How do you define the playoff era as we look to the final season of this current version of college football? Braden Gall in for Paul. Your call's next right here on ESPN Radio.
We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.